Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
About it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
All right, Tiki and Tanny back on the Fan. It's 11:42. Giants, Commanders. You know, really, the more I think about this, that has got to be part of the organizational's blueprint here. Like, if they were swimming in the waters with, you know, five or six guns, top guns, you know, 25 years old, 26, like these perennial MVP candidates like the Jets have to deal with in the AFC, I think that might reshape how they view Jones and how they attack the quarterback position.
Yeah, because it's hard to think about. You want to think about it in a vacuum, like what's best for our team. But you got to think about winning first your division and then winning the conference. And then ultimately, the last part is having the best quarterback to win a Super Bowl. But winning a Super Bowl, as we all know, is, I mean, yes, it's about the quarterback, but it's also about defense. It's about, you know, special teams. You have a great kicker. Think about how Pats won all their Super Bowls. They knew that they had a better kicker than everybody else. Mm-hmm. So if it came down to a field goal game, they had the advantage. And so many of these Patriots Super Bowls were three-point games. So It's one of the last things you actually have to think about. The first thing you have to think about is how do we win our division? And game planning or drafting against the division is really what teams should do first. So it's interesting you point it out that way, because those people don't think about it that way, but that's actually how you have to think about it. Win the division, you make the postseason, period.
All right, let's get into a little bit more with our buddy Carl Banks. The Carl Banks Report. And it's brought to you by Bud Light for the Giants fans on game day. Enjoy responsibly by Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. By Kia's Season of Giving Back. Visit kia.com/seasonofgivingback to learn more. And by Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa, two-time Super Bowl champ. And, of course, analyst for the Giants here on The Fan, home of the G-Men. Carl, what's happening, buddy? How are you? What's happening, Carl? Carl is not connected.
Not yet.
He was.
We'll connect back.
Yeah, we'll get him
in a second. Is he there, Dove? No.
No. It's all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Get him up. All right, we're going to have to find Carl. This is, former player's got to know. You show up on time here, Banks. Give me 10 gassers. Let's go. Hit the practice field.
It wasn't gassers. It was money.
What was the thing that you guys lamented the most that you had to do that you hated?
Honestly,
I know your answer, the conditioning test.
But not the one that was out, not Coughlin's conditioning test.
Okay.
Because Coughlin's conditioning test was on the field. So you'd have to get to training camp, really basically the first day you're there. I mean, maybe it's the second day, because the first day you're just moving in your stuff, et cetera. But the second day, you take a conditioning test, and it's gassers. So across the field and back. Right, and you had to finish them in whatever the number time, whatever, I forget what the time was, but you had to do 8 of them, or maybe it was 10, but whatever. You had to finish all of them in a certain time, which was, I mean, it's relatively easy as long as you weren't in horrible shape.
Yeah,
you could muster out 8.
Yeah, listen, different timings for the tackles versus you.
Fossils.
Yeah,
was a treadmill test.
That's easier.
It's not easier.
Oh, really?
Because it would go up, so it'd start like flat.
Yeah,
and then it would be like 2 degrees, it would go up 2 miles per hour. And then 4 degrees, and it goes up 2 miles. So you're just you're dying.
I gotcha.
Trying to stay on the treadmill.
Well, listen, Carl, we're talking a lot about Danny Jones here today. And I want to ask you this. Uh-huh. This is game number 50 coming up this weekend against the Commanders in his career. It's start number 11 for the Giants this year with the new regime. How deep into their evaluation process do you think they are in either knowing they're moving forward with him? I'm not saying they're going to tell us, but them knowing they're going ahead with Danny in 2023 and beyond, or they're not. What do you think?
I think they're pretty far into it. I think what happens now is, like, can he execute what they're asking him to do with the available personnel. I think they have a pretty good idea of what he can do there. Now it comes down to projecting not only what he could do with better personnel, but is there someone out there or coming into a draft based on your positioning that would give your chance, your team a better chance? I heard you guys earlier today talking about who's a Super Bowl quarterback. There, none of them are Super Bowl quarterbacks until they are, you know, and a lot of that has to do with, yes, their decision-making and execution, but it also has to do with the personnel around them. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at Tom Brady's last couple Super Bowls, he was not the best player on the field. You know, he was the best player for them throughout his Patriots run, regular season, but there were some games in Super Bowls where he was not the best player on the field.
Yeah,
or their best player.
No, you're right about that. And even when he got to Tampa, I mean, he wasn't. Their defense was really good, and Mike Evans was a stud, and Chris Godwin played well, and Antonio Brown had a big part in that as well. So you're absolutely right about that. But when you think about Daniel Jones and what...
I have lost everyone.
Yeah, when you think about what he's done... Carl, can you still hear us? I think Carl is...
Tapped out. Finish your thought there, T. We'll get him wired up.
Yeah, but the question about Daniel Jones is, you know... Even though we haven't got a full evaluation on him, do the Giants have any other option, right? Because you talk about this in as far as what's the alternative. It's like, get rid of Daniel Jones. And then as Amy Trask always says, it's, and then what?
So, no,
and then
and
what?
Do what?
Yeah.
And do what? So, like, it almost is, Daniel Jones is almost the best option for the Giants next year, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, he could be the best option for a lot. Look around the league. Right. And everyone wants to point to the top 3, 4, or 5 quarterbacks. They don't come every year.
Yeah.
And the teams that have them don't get rid of them. So you have to work with what you have. And if your guy has, number one, pretty good football IQ, the ability to make good decisions, then you start to build a team around him. I'm not saying that that's what the Giants are going to do because they may have someone in mind. But as a general rule in this league, everyone wants the best quarterback. That's why he's the best quarterback, but he's not available. You know, they don't microwave the Josh Allens and the Patrick Mahomes. And listen, everyone wanted to throw Jalen Hurts away a year ago, literally.
Yeah, and Tua. Tua was the same way.
And Tua, right? And literally up until opening day, the Miami Dolphins openly wanted to get rid of Tua.
That's true.
And now, look, I mean, so, you know, you hate him until you love him. And you just give them the tools that will help your team be better.
Yeah, but now, Carl, I hear you. You're right on how we almost force guys in. Like, same with Zach Wilson. Like, you almost need him to be the guy. So the process of evaluation is a little bit skewed.
What's the guy, though?
I understand that.
How you define the guy?
Well, it's fluid. I hate that expression, but it really is because every situation is different. But I'm going to say this. And I'm largely with you, but Tua's situation is very different than Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones going into year 5 is very different. And Danny Jones has never even come close to putting these numbers up that Tua's putting up.
Okay.
So I don't know that that's the best comparison.
No, we're just talking about who's the guy. Like, everyone has a different idea of a player, of a quarterback. In the quarterback position, again, it comes down to making good decisions, doing what the coaches need you to do to operate within. He's got them in playoff contention. Is there someone better? Then I'm sure they're going to look at it. If there's not, then they're going to figure out how to make it work with Daniel Jones. If there's someone equal and they don't like Daniel Jones, they'll move on from it. But right now, he is the guy that has them in a playoff hunt. So we'll deal with it after the season, but it's either equal or better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So to Carl Banks. I got you. Carl Banks with us here on The Fan.
Hey, Carl, give us your scouting report. Not scouting report, but your grading sheet, I guess we could say, on Kayvon Thibodeau. Because we get a lot of callers that maybe aren't seeing what he's doing. Because I think he's playing well. He had nine pressures last week. You see it because you're watching every game. You're there. You're in the trenches, essentially, even though you're, you know, lots of feet above it. But, like, you see it. People are assuming he's having a bad season because he has one sack.
He's actually having a really good season,
right?
A really, really good season. And I tweeted out the other day, Kayvon is coming, because what he's put together and what people don't understand, because we're fascinated with, well, how many sacks does this first-round draft choice have?
Yeah.
This guy has been a very dominant force in the run game. He's doing everything that they're asking him to do, but he's doing it at a high level. He is very disruptive, and those sacks are going to come. And when they come, they're going to come in bunches. So don't be shocked if he walks out of a game down this stretch with two, three sacks in one game, because he is coming and he is a disruptive force. But he is the most complete player in terms of everything he's doing. And Wink has him doing a lot.
Yeah.
Of these guys that have come out in this draft.
Mm. All right, so when we have you on every week, Carl, it's generally about, you know, larger topics, you know, the quarterback stuff, the playoffs, are they feasible, the coaching staff's influence early on. Hey, we very rarely get into matchup stuff because it's kind of like doing 1980s radio. It's kind of boring. But I am curious, you know, broad snapshot here, just the matchups with the Commanders. I mean, this is, in essence, the season, these two games against this team. So how do the Giants match up with them?
Well, it's a good matchup, and I think the difference maker in this game is Taylor Heinicke, right? Because he can be weirdly good. Like, he doesn't throw great footballs, but, you know, McCurlin is really good coming up with passes from him. He doesn't drive the ball outside the numbers very well, but they seem to catch him. So he's kind of the difference maker. The Giants will have to run the football at least 35 times this game to have some success. But, you know, I think offensively they have a chance, but the Commanders do as well. I think it's a pretty equal matchup.
So we all know the numbers, but I want you to, you know, take us beyond the curtain a little bit. Numbers the last couple of games have not been very favorable for Saquon. It is what it is. He's had in totality. He's had a really good year. Are you seeing the same amount of juice, or is it just there's no holes, or is he not as bouncy as he was?
Listen, he had one heavy workload game.
Yep.
In the last, 3 weeks?
The Texans had 36 carries.
Yeah, so
The same.
But I don't think that zapped him. I just don't think they had any room for him to run the football. I think, and Tiki could probably speak to this more, but high-level running backs, they train for high-volume carries.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think one game is going to zap everything that he's put into this offseason to get where, you know.
Unless there's an injury.
I just think it's not there.
Yeah, unless there's an injury or something, right?
Correct.
So, one last thing here, Carl. We kind of happened upon this because BT was looking at the schedule. We were talking to Julian Love yesterday. The Washington Commanders have the Giants, a bye week, and then the Giants. It's almost unfair, in a sense.
To the Giants.
To the Giants, right?
Well, the Giants have a mini bye right now coming into this game. So, but look, you play them as they come on the schedule.
Yeah, but the Giants have the Eagles in between. It's like they smash. Yeah. I know why they do this. Like, they smash the division games in the back end because it makes for interesting divisional, you know, ranking, you know, jostling, whatever it may be. But this feels really unfair to the Giants.
It does in a sense, but this is crunch time. This is the money time. Nobody's complaining. Like, there is a carrot dangling out there called playoffs, and everybody can see it within the division. So they just got a race to get it, you know, be your best on game day.
Yeah, I lied to you. Last thing. Should Brian Daboll be talking to this team about being a playoff squad? We know he says December football is meaningful. It's exciting. It's what you really want to play for. But should he start dangling the playoffs out there?
Well, it's in front of them. Like, he can tell them what they're playing for right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not taboo, but I don't think he said, hey, guys, let's go win one and get in the playoffs. It's like, hey, look, this is what's in front of you. We have an opportunity. Let's take advantage of it. Yeah. So playoff conversations are not taboo. This point of the year, they've earned it.
You think they win Sunday?
I do.
Okay.
I really do.
Me too. Right.
So the two giant homers are saying the Giants get the win, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Banks.
Shut it up, hater.
I love it. Go get
a
win.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate you, buddy. That's the Carl Banks Report. I'll be sick. The Giants win this game. Play's going to be bonkers, man.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.